Hi, friends, and welcome back to episode 4 of the Limitless Living for Women podcast. I'm so excited about this episode. This is part 2 of the 2-part series on our relationship to fitness. Last episode was all about my relationship to fitness, and I thought that would perhaps set the tone a little bit for, you know, really getting to know the coach who is going to take you all through how to build a more sustainable and enjoyable lifelong relationship to fitness. That is what we are going to be talking about today. And I am so pumped to share with you these life-changing tools. So we're not going to wait any longer. We are going to dig in. Alrighty, friends, let's dig in. So today we are chatting about my tools that I've developed to help you build a more enjoyable, sustainable, and lifelong fitness practice. How good does that sound? But I need to tell you, why are these so important? Like, why is what I'm talking about just absolutely so important? And at the end of the day, actually, in my opinion, has even more to do than just fitness, which, if you know me and my work by now, you are not surprised that is the ultimate kind of takeaway of all of this. But, you know, the reality is that when we start to move and approach fitness or sport through more of a way that serves us, right, in a way that really helps us thrive, that has the ability to directly translate into all other areas of our lives. For real, I've seen it over and over again in almost 2 decades of work in the fitness and wellness industry. A good friend and colleague of mine, Jessie Mundell, in this industry as well, she indicates that fitness and movement can almost be like a launching pad for women to start to get more from their lives for themselves, right? It's like women can find that time to dedicate, or will find that time to maybe dedicate to movement or ask for the time for their fitness. And that sets themselves up to start asking for more for themselves in their lives. And I couldn't agree more. So super powerful stuff. And the thing is it's not easy to get to this place, I will say, and be completely transparent, because again, I do some deep coaching with women one-on-one on this, but I think I've yet in my years of work come across anybody who doesn't have some sort of limiting belief when it comes to fitness and exercise. And bear with me here, because maybe some of you are listening and thinking, what are you talking about, Pam? I've always moved. I love fitness. I make it part of my daily life. But the thing is so many of us don't actually take our limiting beliefs as a limiting. We don't know that they're a limiting belief. We take them as fact. Right? Will you believe that maybe it has to be a certain length of time that we have to move? We believe that, you know, only certain things maybe work for our body. Sometimes we believe that it's only certain body should be doing certain type of movement or fitness or sport. We believe that fitness should happen for a certain length of time or at a certain time. We believe, you know, what healthy people look like or don't look like. We believe what fit people don't look like or look like. We have so many limiting beliefs that influence how we show up to move, why we show up to move, how long we show up to move, how we feel if we're not moving or not committed to a fitness program. I'm telling you, you know, I would take on the challenge of talking to anybody and knowing that I could more than likely get to some limiting belief that you have that influences your relationship to fitness. So it's just, that's why I've established these tools. And no, these 10 tools that I'm going to talk about today, it doesn't mean that, you know, these tools won't necessarily unpack every single limiting belief that you have. They address a substantial amount of them for sure. And they, if you haven't started this work yet, I truly believe that if you start practicing and embracing these tools, you will start showing up differently when it comes to fitness and movement. I've seen it happen professionally. I've experienced it personally. If you tuned into the previous episode, part 1 of this 2-part series, you know that my relationship to fitness has most definitely not always been positive at all. So I've literally been the experiment, you know, the experiments when it comes to this tools. And then what I did is as soon as I got into the industry, I started, you know, using these tools professionally. So that is what we are going to talk about today. And I will say that I actually have created a beautiful PDF that summarizes what we're going to be talking about today. So if you want for free, if you want that freebie, I'm going to put the link in the description of this podcast, and you can go, you can download it for free, and you could keep it, you know, wherever you want as a reference guide, as a go-to. It really summarizes everything that we are going to chat about today. So, you know why I've established these tools, you know why I feel so strongly about them, you know, ultimately, ladies, and of course, gentlemen too, but you know, the passion for me lies with the ladies is I really want you building and creating lives that you deserve and that you want to show up for. And I would argue this is a really, really extremely important piece. So let's dig into it. My 10 tools for helping you build a more enjoyable and sustainable and lifelong relationship to fitness. Okay, so tool number one. Bear with me here, friends. What is tool number one? First tip is that science is sometimes shite when it comes to fitness and movement. Yes, I said it now. Listen, you're also listening to like a proud part, like part science geek over here, and I do take it into consideration. So please just bear with me. What am I chatting about here? So just listen to the following sentences, okay? And you might have heard one, two, maybe all of them before. Okay. Heavy lifting is best. Don't forget lots of cardio. Grab the dumbbells and ditch the cardio. Make sure you're doing a variety of exercises. Forget varieties. The simple and basic exercises are best and going to get you to your goals. HIIT, high intensity interval training, is the bomb. Make sure you get at it. Forget HIIT. Take a walk. Your hormones will thank you a lot more for it. Okay. This is the thing. The truth? Yes. Science has its role. The other truth is I can legitimately find science to back up all of the statements that I just shared with you. So do you see the problem here? Okay. The thing is not only can I find science, I could most likely find an influencer, an expert, perhaps even a world-renowned one and someone that has a published paper on this that can back up all of the claims that I just made about fitness and movement, right? And the thing is not only do they fiercely believe what they're selling, but there's evidence, perhaps maybe they might have a crew and a community that raves about a certain style of fitness and movement being the best and being the movement that has changed their lives. And for them, honestly, it might actually be the thing that did do that for them. I'm not judging that. Cool. Awesome. Great. But like I said, I think the problem becomes I just gave you how many different ways to move that are more or less have science to support all of these ways of moving in certain ways, right? So listen, my thought here, really, I'm going to summarize it, is that as you start to, if you want to create a more positive relationship to movement, you let a bit of the science go and you embrace a bit more of these limitless living tools that I've created here to really help you explore what's best for you, because this is what I'm about. Okay. What is going to work for you? What is it going to be something that you enjoy, that you do for life, that, you know, really serves you? This is what I'm after. Okay. And so we need to let go a little bit of all the science claims and all the different variety of claims that experts are making when it comes to what movement is best. Okay. So that is why I mean sometimes science is shite, because the science might not necessarily support you and what you need to do to thrive. Okay. All right. So that is tool number one. Let the science go a little bit. So the next thing is trying to really get clear on how you want to actually feel in your body and in your life. Okay. And this is work I do both on a life coaching and a fitness coaching, perspective or approach. So bear with me here. The thing is, okay, we set goals right? Or we say we're going to do certain things because ultimately we think it's going to make us feel in a certain way. There's some positive feeling that we think is going to be generated from achieving the goal, be it a fitness goal, all right, or be it a life goal, so to speak, right? We say that we're going to do things not because we think they're going to make us feel shitty and crummy, but because they're going to take us closer to what we want to feel. All right. Awesome. Now, we have this a little bit backwards. All right. If we can get clear on how we actually want to feel in our bodies and how we want to feel in our lives, then we can start choosing the movement or the fitness that's going to help us cultivate that. So you might be going, okay, Pam, I am still a little bit confused. And I'm saying, I get it. Bear with me. Okay. Let's look at a variety of different positive feeling states, meaning feeling states that are all, yeah, exactly what I said, positive things that one might desire to feel in their bodies, okay, and in their lives. And then I'm going to give you examples on how maybe different styles or approaches to movement or fitness can actually help you feel that way, right? If I'm working with a one-on-one client and we get to a core feeling of them wanting to feel strength, you know, wanting to feel really grounded in their bodies and in their lives. And that is what we work towards. Again, please be reminded that sometimes there takes a lot of work to be able to totally embrace all of these tools. And I'm available limitedly to do that one-on-one with people. So yes, this one can be a little bit deeper dive of work, I guess, so to speak, personal growth work, but it is very powerful if you can do it. Okay. So back to the client that wants to feel very strong in their bodies and in their lives. Well, the thing is perhaps they've been doing a form of movement or choosing behaviors that don't actually make them feel this way, right? And so something I may have that client explore is picking up weights for the first time, attempting maybe even to challenge the muscles in a different way, in a different style of movement. It can, because that can be a great way to generate that feeling of wanting to feel strong in the body. And listen, I use weights as an example, and there's going to be more tools on helping you really, you know, kind of get curious about what is going to cultivate this feeling from you. But just because you want to feel strong in your body, it doesn't mean that your only way to do that is through weight training, right? We can do that in a variety of ways. But then it's like, if you want to feel strong, you start to explore what type of movement and what type of fitness actually helps you feel that way. And of course, I mean, I love iron for so many reasons. And in all honesty, I really, really do believe that, you know, resistance training and weight training can help women feel a lot stronger in their bodies and even in their lives. So that is my own personal and professional bias, but that doesn't mean you can't help generate the feeling of strength through something else, right? Now, this is a thing. Okay, so there's a client that wants to feel strong. Client B wants to just feel more ease and simplicity in their lives, okay? Feeling more ease may mean yoga, a mobility flow, perhaps could fuel that for client B now. Or because they want simplicity, it perhaps might just be the approach to the strength workout or cardio or any of the fitness that we establish really helps make them feel this way, you know, just in a more simpler way, right? It could be, all right, they're craving some simplicity. So instead of a really intense, complicated program, it's literally three movements that they're going to do three times a day. Done. That's it. Simple. Movement that you don't have to think about, not new movements. It helps really cultivate that feeling of simplicity clients looking for, right? Then what if a client wants to feel adventurous, or what if you want to feel adventurous in your body and in your life? Well, then it might be as simple as trying something completely new and getting out of your comfort zone, maybe doing something that you wouldn't generally consider as part of a regular go-to movement or even fitness activity, right? Or maybe it's not something totally new, but it's adding to what you already do. And for those who, you know, are in this point of their lives where it's almost fitness hasn't existed, feeling adventurous might just mean getting back to it, right? So I'm not here to say and tell you exactly what style of movement is going to cultivate what feeling. What I am here to just remind you is that we do things and set goals because we want to feel a certain way. So when we flip it on its head and we choose the feeling that we're after for our bodies and for our lives, we can start to use movement and fitness as a tool to help us generate that feeling. And that is really freaking cool. So bringing how you want to feel into why and how you choose to move can be extremely empowering, and another tool that, again, I have personal experience with, I have professional experience with, and one that I wanted to share with you today. Okay. Tool number three is a learn from body inclusive movement experts who don't use shame-based marketing tactics. Why? You know what? If movement professionals that you're taking advice from only celebrate certain body types, if they believe that the after pick is always better and don't talk about the story, and if they think, and especially if they think that just because something works for them, that it will work for everybody else, I guarantee you they're struggling with their own, not struggling, but they have their own limiting beliefs about fitness and exercise, which then can be infiltrated and become your own limiting beliefs when it comes to actually getting to the point where you thrive with fitness and exercise. All right. So listen, if you're following experts that truly only believe one style of movement is the best and the only way that shouldn't be that people should move, or if they're another thing that just, of course, obviously gets under my skin, but if they're trying to sell things to you by capitalizing on your vulnerabilities, for example, say goodbye to your tummy and hello to a flat stomach with this 30-day shred, or let's get bikini body ready with this program. Okay, we all know. We don't, this is like a whole other topic for discussion, but the body is something vulnerable that women are, that have to navigate the relationship to the body. And that's a whole other podcast episode, if not series in of itself. Of course, it's intertwined with our relationship to fitness, of course. But listen, the reality is, I mean, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a little bit too high of a percentage of how many women don't love their bodies. And so when marketing points out or something gets marketed to something that we're not feeling good and promises a solution, especially when it promises a solution fast in 30 days or 10-day fix or whatever the program is, not only obviously is it going to be something that's not sustainable. We know that. Listen, I was just going to say science backs that up, which I started this episode by telling you to challenge science. But listen, I know I'm talking to a bright mind right now. I just know if you've hit press play, you know that these 30-day fixes and these 30-day programs and these promises to a new body with only moving a certain way that apparently you're going to have to move like that for the rest of your life are just not the answer for they're not the answer if you actually want to thrive in your relationship to fitness. Okay, fine. If you want to feel like you're on the wagon or off the wagon, if you want to feel guilt if you're not working out, if you want to think that you're only accomplished if you've, you know, hit certain measurements by 30 days, fine. By all means, have at it. But if you are here listening because you want to just feel better about your body when it comes to fitness and commit to it in a level that serves you and actually translates into every other area of a life for you to thrive, then yeah, you're going to listen to this advice. Okay. So bye, Felicia. If those are experts talking about those things, you just don't need that toxicity of your life. And honestly, I'm super proud because I've been in this game for almost 2 decades. At one point I felt like a lone ranger, but I've seen major shifts in the fitness and wellness industry when it comes to this. There are tons of fit pros that are more body inclusive, that are such bright minds, that don't shame women into buying certain fitness programs, and that makes me proud. Now, is there a lot of cringeworthy fit pros and fitspo out there? 100%. So you've got to be discerning on where you're getting your movement advice from. If it makes you feel unworthy or not good enough in the body that you're in right now, you know the drill. See ya. Unfollow. You deserve better. You don't need to move to fix who you are and what your body is now. you know why you need to move? Because you just deserve to move. Your body wants to move. Moving's going to help you thrive in your life. The end. Okay. And I'm just going to reference a few experts in the field that I absolutely love, that are body inclusive, that don't use shame-based marketing tactics. Allison Tenney, love, love, love her work. And following her also on Instagram, you're going to get a kick out of tons of her reels for sure. She's like my fave on Instagram. Jessie Mundell is another one that I absolutely adore. Louise Green is doing awesome things in the industry. Jen Comas is another one that I love to follow. Like, there are tons of like experts doing amazing things in our industry that are not shaming women for the bodies that they have now. And they're not saying it's one way or the highway. So I will also link those gals and those amazing experts in the podcast description. All right. For you to take a look. Now, how many tools have we talked about now? We've talked about three good solid tools. And you know, is this one my favorite? I think this is just my favorite tool for life, to be honest with you. And it is embrace curiosity. And that's one of my favorite C's. Okay. So, you know, these tools don't happen in a step 1 to 10 process. We're using them interchangeably. Some tools are going to resonate more than others do. And some tools you may find more helpful than other tools. That's just how it is. Okay. If you're game to start quieting science and tapping into how you want to feel in your body, and you start to really listen to professionals who truly care about you, okay. So now you're like, now what, Pam? And I'm like, ooh, this is where the magic happens. If you let it. If you let it, okay? You are now granted full permission to try it all, to explore it all. The strength training or the sweaty cardio or dance classes or going for a hike with a bestie or bar classes or Pilates, yoga, mobility work, spinning, dancing in your kitchen, swinging kettlebells, you know, between meetings. You're allowed to try it all. The world is your oyster. The thing is as you're going to try it, guess what you're going to use? My favorite C, the lens of curiosity. And I'm going to tell you why that is so important. Because curiosity neutralizes any feelings of fear or judgment that may come up as you try these new things or new ways of showing up in fitness, in your body, in your life. Okay. So how can we use it? We're trying something new. What we start asking ourselves in the moment, instead of being fearful or starting to judge, you know, maybe how our body is doing a certain movement or a certain fitness routine, we start to ask ourselves, how do we feel when we move this way? How did we feel after that particular workout? Did we have fun? Could we do this a little longer? Would we want to do it again? I wonder if I would like this style of movement over this style of movement. We ask questions. We get curious. That's my favorite C. We get curious. It neutralizes those feelings of fear. It makes you less judgmental about yourself and the whole process. You know, and cultivating self-awareness, it's not only a powerful tool to help you, you know, navigate your relationship to fitness. Oh my goodness, it is a powerful tool for our lives as well, right? When we're trying new things, when we're exploring the unknown, of course, fear is going to come up. Judgment may come up because of our own limiting beliefs. But if we could slow it down and just get curious, pause, just start to ask questions, we start to gather more and more information about whatever it is that we're exploring. And that information, the more information we have about ourselves and how we're showing up in the world, can be extremely empowering. So use my favorite C when it comes to exploring fitness and movement. And honestly, I'm going to tell you that even during the exploration phase, which, I mean, the exploration phase may be the rest of your life, right? Of trying new things. It's just, it's going to make everything so much more enjoyable. And if anything, it's just going to take out the fear. It'll help. It'll neutralize, take the fear and the judgment away from it all. Okay. Okay. This is another tool. And this one really helps people who have limiting beliefs that feel that only certain body types or certain bodies should be doing certain things. Okay. So I've heard it before, but Pam, I never believed I could do that. I feel too big to try that, or I'm too small to lift that, or I am not strong enough for that, or I just can't bend that way. Okay. So perhaps you too have a limiting belief that you you shouldn't or aren't able to try a certain type of movement, or you think you just can't. You think you won't ever be able to do a push-up from your toes or a pull-up. You think that your body type shouldn't, you know, dance or move in a certain way because of your own limiting beliefs, right? Okay, so this is what I want you to do. This is the next tool. Look for your body type doing the thing. Yes, your body type, go find social proof of it actually doing that type of movement, doing the yoga, doing the strength training, doing the push-up, doing the dance class, whatever it is. You want to find women in your body that you, in bodies that you can relate to, and you want to see them doing the thing, okay? The lifting, the bending, the walking, the running, any of it. Your belief that your body can't take part in a certain movement is a limiting belief and it's not serving you. It's also a false belief. It's not fact, okay? And it's totally created by an oppressive system. Don't even get me started on that right now. Again, another podcast episode. So I want you to just to go find the social proof that your limiting belief is false, all right? And by finding social proof that our limiting beliefs is false, that's how we can slowly start unpacking those limiting beliefs and just recognizing them as thoughts that don't serve us instead of fact, okay? That's what we are attempting to do. Because if we believe that our body type can't do a certain thing, we go out and we find proof that it can. And over time, it'll help unpack that false limiting belief, all right? And make us just completely aware that that information and that belief isn't going to support us in thriving with our fitness and with our life, okay? And I promise you, the social proof is there. I mean, right now, that is one positive thing in the world of social media. You can find body types of all sizes doing all the things. And I've seen it all, from running marathons to doing push-ups and pull-ups to dancing to, I've seen it all. So if you're struggling to find your body type doing the thing, honestly, just message me. We'll find it. We will find it together. Okay. Okay. Moving on to another tool that can, this one I think has an ability to add maybe some fun and some joy into your life. And I love using it. I love when clients embrace it. And that's going back to our sweet childhood memories. Okay. Sit with me here. Our bodies are made to move. Okay. We weren't born with limiting beliefs about movement. So I want you to think back to your early childhood days. As early as you could go back, all right? How did you move? Was it bike rides with neighbors or siblings? Was it walks with grandma or your family? Was it kicking the soccer ball in the backyard, shooting a basketball in the driveway? Was it team sports? Maybe did you go skating on Sundays with your family? Maybe you just loved running around the park and just moving in a way that wasn't structured and just fun, okay? Close your eyes and take yourself back if you can. How'd you move? How'd it make you feel? What'd you get excited to do as a kid? Now, couldn't it be fun to take care of that little kiddo inside you and embrace some of that childhood movement, right? Listen, maybe it is and maybe it's not. And this is where you just get to embrace my powerful C and get curious about it. So again, this isn't necessarily the solution. This is one of many tools. And there is so nothing wrong with going to do what you used to love doing as a child and get curious if it still works for you right now, right? And just honor that little kiddo inside you. And honestly, if it's not something you want to keep exploring, great, but you've tried it, right? I think, you know, for me, it wouldn't be an early childhood memory, but I loved rollerblading and skating as a kid, right? And so, yeah. I've totally reinvested in rollerblades, and the C was important because I definitely don't have the rollerblade skill that I did when I was younger. So I got curious on how it was going to go, but it's now something that I just, you know, I added in. It's fun. It does make me feel like younger Pam again, and taps into that. So like I said, maybe childhood movement ends up being something that you are happy that you explored and you'll continue doing again. Maybe it's not. Use that C, get curious, and go back to what you did as a kiddo. Okay. Oh, this is like, this one's super important to me. It might not be for you. It's super important. I know for many clients, they have cited this time and time again over the years. And the next tool is tapping into music to make movement, fitness enjoyable. Okay. Neuroscience has proven that music is a very powerful beast. Okay. It has the ability to improve our mood, to decrease anxiety, to improve sleep quality. It can enhance our happiness. It's often referred to as a language of emotion. What does that mean? It means that music can impact our feelings. And when things impact how we feel, they then directly impact our behavior. So do you see the connection here? You can put or design a powerful playlist to perhaps even help facilitate and get you going into movement. You can also put a powerful playlist together for movement, right? For a backyard workout, for a walk, for a hike with your bestie. Play your favorite tunes maybe from your childhood if she's a childhood bestie. Music is putting music and your actual choice of movement that makes you thrive, pairing that together is a power combo, very much a powerful combo. You know, if you've worked through the tools and you've explored types of movement and you know moving in a certain way is really helping you thrive at a certain time in your life, and you pair that with tunes that you know make you feel a certain way, right? This goes back into the other tool, like when we know how we want to feel. Okay, if you want to feel strong or adventurous or joyful or playful, whatever, any of those positive feeling states, not only can you get curious about movement that's going to help facilitate those states, right? Those positive states, but music in itself, oh my goodness, it's a language of emotion that for sure can feed into cultivating whatever positive state that you're going after. Okay. And the thing is, hey, if moving in silence is your thing, do you boo, as one of my besties would say. But if you love your tunes, you can actually use them to your advantage here. You can actually use them to help you embrace joy through movement. And that is such a beautiful thing. So it might sound so simple to put on your favorite tunes, but it's actually more than that. I've got lots of favorite tunes in a variety of different, you know, genres, so to speak, when it comes to music. But there's certain types of tunes on certain days or when I'm moving in a certain way that definitely help me cultivate certain feelings, okay? So start thinking about that stuff too. Put this tool together with the tool that I talk about getting clear on how you want to feel. And honestly, just power combo right there. A powerful playlist cultivating, you know, the feelings that you want to feel plus movement that cultivates the feelings of how you want to feel. Power combo. Awesome. Get at it. Okay. Another simple, but again, a very powerful tool if you implement it, is feel good clothes. They're a non-negotiable. So if you want to move in a way that makes you feel good, you know, or makes you feel a certain way, you're going to ditch the clothing that you don't feel great in. Okay. It's as simple as that. You shouldn't feel like you're restricted in the movement that you're doing because of what you're wearing. Okay. So use my favorite seat and get curious about what styles of fitness gear or non-fitness gear work best for you. Okay. Again, colleague and friend of mine, Jessie Mundell, she's big on not changing and maybe just lifting the weights in her summer dress that she's in, or, you know, dancing around the kitchen, if dance is your thing, with the PJs that you're still on. Because again, if you think about it, a limiting belief is that we should be dressed a certain way sometimes to do certain styles of movement. And that's so not true either, right? Again, I'm kind of going on a tangent here on an aside, but keep that simple. All right. Find clothes that you feel good in when you're moving and when you're working out. And use the C. All right. Use that seat of curiosity to find out what that is. Because again, sometimes there's so many limiting beliefs that we should dress in a certain way when we are doing our fitness, so to speak. And maybe that particular way that's been suggested to us doesn't work for us. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Again, not judging at all. I just want you to really get curious. All right. And find clothes that you feel really good in when you're moving, because that is going to be extremely helpful. Okay. Friends, we are already on tip number 9. Time flies when you're having fun, right? Okay. So, two more tools to go. Get clear on your why when it comes to fitness and movement, and you're going to have to dig a bit deep here. Okay. So, great tunes, comfy clothes, curious mindset, respect for your body. It might not always be enough to get you moving, actually, to start the thing. That's true. Sometimes we just don't want to, even if it's the best thing for us, even if we know that it'll be fun or we'll feel better after or we'll cultivate that feeling we're after. Okay. And listen, disclaimer, movement might not actually always be the best for us in those particular moments. Again, another topic for another day. So this is when getting really clear on our why is important. Okay. Why is it important for movement to be a part of your life? I want you to ask yourself, what are the things that you value most in your life? Okay. This is outside of movement. What are the things that you value most in your life? What are your core values? Are they relationships in your life? Is it your career? Is it your family? Is it health and well-being? Is it personal development? There's honestly a host of tools online that you can actually even Google and take a look at, you know, how do I find my core values? Back in the days when I worked at Queen's School of Business, we had tons of exercises to help kind of the people in our program really define what their core values are. So I know it's out there and I know it exists. Okay. So once we find what our core values are, now we start to think, how could a consistent movement practice enhance those aspects of their lives or these things in our lives that we really value? So can we connect movement to one or more of our core values and find our why, right? You know, I've heard this again with people that really value the relationships in their lives. They know that if they're taking that time out to move, it will help them be more present when they show up to the conversations with their family or just show up in the roles that they have in their lives. And because at their core, they really value the relationships, being able to connect that their relationships thrive more when they move more. That is just one of that could be hundreds of thousands of examples on, you know, someone using their why to really help facilitate the movement, you know, and maybe not help facilitate in that moment, but just come back to it, right? Come back to reminding yourself why you're moving. Yeah, why you're moving. Like, our whys are just so powerful to help us, I would say, more when it comes to making it a lifelong practice, right? So again, all these tools together, it's not step one to step 10, you know, not one tool isn't specifically to help you with enjoyment or another tool isn't specifically to help you with sustainability of movement. They're kind of all mixed up into this big bucket or pail, so to speak, to help you. Yeah. And really thrive when it comes to movement in your life. Okay. So get clear on your why, dig deep here, tons of tools to help you really establish those core values. And then, you know, get really clear on how movement in a way that serves you can really help enhance. And why I talk about this later on in the tools, and this isn't one of the first ones, is because, you know, doing the work to kind of more or less find the style of movement that works for you, feel good in it, be it through clothes, be it through movement, be it through, you know, doing what your kid self wanted to do. I would say that is important first to figure out, and then we connect it with our why. Okay. Yeah. So that's number 9, friends. And the final one might not be something that you want to hear, but it's like something that's actually, this one's non-negotiable for everyone. So for everyone, if it is that you want, if you're here because you want enjoyment when it comes to your fitness, you want it to be a lifelong thing, you want it to be a sustainable thing, you know what you actually have to do and what's non-negotiable. It's like the tool that you can't just say, I'm going to do the rest and I'm not going to do this one. You might not want to hear it, some of you, but you got to ditch diet mentality. And then instead of diet mentality, you got to choose health and thriving instead. Okay. Because the truth is, if you want to move in a way that makes you feel powerful and fabulous in your body and you want to do it forever, then you're going to have to give another bye, Felicia, here to the restrictive and controlling diets that women are sold to on the daily, because these things are just they're too tied in together. Our relationship to fitness and our relationship to food, diet, health is literally all mixed up in the same cup, bucket. It's all one of the same. It's so inextricably connected that my argument would be it would be next to almost impossible to thrive in your relationship to movement if you're on the constant yo-yo dieting roller coaster. It's impossible. And I would take on anyone to help me argue otherwise. Okay. By now we know, ladies and gentlemen, diets, just this shit's not sustainable. Okay. The diets and the whole roller coaster of diets, me I'll define diet, right? Diets, or what I'm talking about restrictive diets and controlling diets that are restrictive in nature, that take away a substantial amount of food groups, that, you know, are made to change our bodies in 30 days. Okay. These systems, they're set up to make us fail. They're set up to make us feel like crap and then keep reinvesting more time and money and energy into the same BS system. Okay. And that's absolutely exhausting. All right. For us women, and is so frustrating for so many reasons. So I don't know about you. All right. But I think of so many other ways I'd rather invest my time, my money, and my energy than spending the rest of my life hating myself and then paying people to help fix me and my body. Yuck, right? Through nutrition. So our relationship to fitness is so inextricably linked to our relationship with food and our bodies, okay? I'm also going to say here that I'm not saying letting go of this diet mentality is easy. It's actually extremely hard work. All right. And I want you to please forgive yourself for not choosing to do this work, maybe until now, or if you're finding this work hard, because there are really, really, really big systems at play, women, that have led you to feel the way that you do about your body, your food, and your fitness. Okay. So you are not alone. I say this from professional experience with probably over thousands of women right now. Okay, so the thing is if you want to stop being either on the wagon or off the wagon when it comes to fitness and start enjoying it more, then the really tough love truth is that you're going to have to ditch the same wagon when it comes to food. You know, you're going to have to say goodbye to the wagon and hello life. And so, yeah, and that, like I said, this could be really hard work depending on where you're at in this journey, but it's non-negotiable work. You know, if you want to thrive in your life when it comes to fitness and movement, then letting go of that diet mentality or thinking that the next quick fix is going to do it for you is honestly a non-negotiable. And again, I'm so thrilled to see movement in my industry that helps women with this. I mean, if you follow my work, you know I'm a huge fan of my good friend and colleague, Dr. Jillian Murphy of Food Freedom Body Love. And she is doing such powerful and amazing work with women of just shedding those limiting beliefs and letting go of relationships to food that just have not, and to their bodies that have not served them, and setting them up to thrive. So she is one I highly recommend, whether you're investing money or not with her, invest time to learn from her, and so many others in the field. Like I'll link them more in the description, because I can't, you know, I'm not in the headspace right now to run through everybody, because I follow a substantial amount of people that are just doing such amazing work that can help you with this if this is something that you feel that you're struggling with. Of course, yes, it's a little piece of some of the one-on-one that I do, for sure, because it has to be, right? So it is definitely a piece to my work. We'll be talking about this more in the Limitless Living Sisterhood. I do deep dive work with one-on-one clients, and it's something that's just embedded, I guess, more or less into the Limitless Living for Women, men, or perspective, mentality, whatever you want to call it. Philosophy, sorry, is more the word that I was looking for there, into the Limitless Living for Women philosophy. I'm not supportive of diet mentality. And I mean that honestly in all sense of the word, you know, not even just with food. I'm not supportive of anything that restricts or denies women in any capacity, you know? And that even kind of ties into what I said at the beginning of this, is that our relationship to fitness and how we show up for movement really is an awesome launching pad and a place to help you women get more for yourselves and more out of your life. Like, that is what I want. So things that tell you you need to be less, you need to eat less of this, eat less of that, restrict, control, only be happy at a certain weight. Of course, that's just not something that I support, or, you know, it's not going to help you thrive, right? It's not going to help you cultivate a positive relationship to fitness where you can find joy in it, where it can be more sustainable and lifelong. And like, that's important because movement's a powerful beast, you know? It is a powerful beast on a psychological level, on a physical level, obviously. Like, we just know that. Perhaps if it resonates for you on a spiritual level, on an emotional level, can't tell you how many times our clients have said, you know, coming to the movement class or doing the movement is like therapy for them. I can't even count the number of times that I've gone to movement to help me move through feelings that I can't even articulate. Like, people listening, it's such a powerful beast, and this is why I want it for everybody, and I want it on your own terms. Yes, on your own terms, because you're so worthy of it. So I really hope that you take these tools, you explore them, you use the ones that resonate for you, discard the rest. You know, some may have jumped out to you more than others. Download the PDF if you want to, in the link in the description of the podcast. You know, have it there as a reminder. Start following some of the experts that I mentioned, you know, when it comes to movement, when it comes to ditching diet mentality. You know, start following them. Start following the women in bodies that you relate to that are doing things that you want to do, right? Just start filling your feeds and your mind and your energy and your thoughts with this. And I can guarantee that you're going to start moving to much more of an enjoyable and lifelong and sustainable relationship to fitness and movement. It is possible, as I've said before, I've experienced it personally. I've seen it professionally time and time again. If you don't know how I've experienced personally, you can just go back to part one of this two-part series, and there's proof on all that, all the transition and the fact that it is possible to go from thinking about movement and embracing it in a more toxic way to a much more positive, sustainable, and enjoyable way. Okay. It is possible, and I so want it for everyone, everyone. All right, friends. So there you have it. My 10 tools for helping you cultivate a more positive, enjoyable, lifelong, and sustainable relationship to fitness. And I just so want it for all of you. And I know that it is possible. I hope you enjoyed this series, and I hope you enjoyed tuning in. I'd love to hear from you. I love hearing from anybody who's tuned in and the aha moments maybe that they receive from the podcast. And some important information: the Limitless Living Sisterhood, which is my online fitness and coaching membership, the founder's rate, which is insane, if you ask me. It's only $35 a month for new weekly workouts, plus a vault of a shit ton of past extra workouts, plus bi-weekly coaching from myself, guest experts, and an amazing online community. Yes, all for $35 a month. That founder's rate ends this Sunday at, I want to say it's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's double check my website, which I will link. So if you want to lock in that founder's rate, because I'm keeping that founder's rate forever, and the price is going to go up after this Sunday. So check in there. And lastly, I have openings, only 3 openings, to do some deep dive one-on-one work. So this one-on-one work is a combination of fitness coaching and life coaching. How cool, right? You get your own personalized movement and fitness program. You commit to for 3 months, all right, working with me, but you also get a weekly coaching call with me, accountability, working through limiting beliefs, just really, really helping you thrive. So if any of that interests you, can check out all the information in the description, hit up my website. And lastly, don't forget to download that PDF, that kind of just summarizes everything that I chatted about today. Thank you for tuning in. So happy that you're here. Grateful you're here, and hope you have an awesome day.